Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Where they may be allowing more nations to join. And the big question is, what's the acronym going to be when it's all said and done? No, that's not the big question. The big question is going to be, are they going to come out with their own currency? That's one of the things that's being bandied about. We covered that. If you want to weigh in on that, you're certainly welcome to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. It's Ian and Jay here tonight. Donald Trump has pleaded guilty to more criminal charges brought against him by the federal government that he once ruled, and we can get into that later if we get the chance. But we're going to focus a little bit more local here, Jay. And this is a situation that's not so local. This is happening to people all around the country being targeted by the police for peaceful acts like taking your kids to a playground. This actually happened in multiple places, as I understand it, during COVID. It happened in Concord, New Hampshire, and there's video of this going down. We've actually, I think, if not played the video on the air, talked in great detail about what happened in the case. And I believe you're going to tell us about what happened to some of the other parents. We had spoken with Rochelle Kelly, who was one of the parents who was targeted by police on this particular day during, I think it was like April 2020, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, something like that.
You know, there was still snow on the ground in Concord at the time, and they brought their kids to a playground that was completely empty, with the exception of these few parents and these few kids that had gone specifically to the park for this one day. And some dirty snitch called the police on these people, and the police came out. Rather than just ignoring the call about kids playing in a playground, the Concord police came out, and they threatened the parents. And they told the parents they had to get their kids off of the playground or else. And the parents did. The parents removed their kids from the playground, and that was the end of the interaction. It seemed like it was over and done with. It was ridiculous. The video is outrageous. I believe you can see a copy of it at the Free Keen Odyssey channel over at video.freekeen.com. But that wasn't the end of the story. They didn't want it to end there, they being the police thugs who decided they were going to go ahead and find out who these parents were. And it took months. If I recall, it was several months before police put warrants out for the arrest of Rochelle Kelly. And I presume these other parents who were involved as well, you're going to tell us a little bit more about
it. Yeah, the incident was April 23rd, and they were arraigned on October 19th, according to an article out of the Concord Monitor.
Half a year later.
Yep. Well, same thing with my wife. You know, mm-hmm. It was an incident that she was literally arraigned well over a year later.
Wow.
Over, you know, with, you know, my daughter in the car for mm-hmm. 20 minutes. So What happened is, so Pamela is a friend of ours, Pamela Jules, she's mentioned in here, but Pamela and Tyler Workman were, you know, husband and wife. They have a couple of kids, and their kids play with my kids, and, you know, they come to homeschool co-op and stuff. And she was telling me...
She was the one that was really letting them have it in the video, if I recall correctly, right? Wasn't there, like, one of the moms that was really just going off on the cops?
I don't really recall the video, but, it, you know, it could have been either one of them. I mean, she's, you know, she's a feisty woman.
Okay.
She's a mama bear.
Yeah,
you know,
she was totally standing
moms.
Up for herself, yep. Which was awesome.
And that's, you know, because, well, most of the men are just, you know, been chemically and emotionally castrated by the state, so we got a whole bunch of soy boys that aren't, you know, interested in, you know, doing anything. So now it's the women who have, you know, become the new freedom fighters and the warriors.
Hmm.
So anyways, Tyler Workman ended up filing complaints with the police department, the Concord Police Department, against Stephen Carter and Paige Salmon.
Are these the cops that responded to the scene?
Yes, and these are the cops that would have filed the warrant.
Okay, because I didn't know if it was the same cops who were there versus who did the paperwork.
I believe so, but these I know these are the cops' names I got out of the articles, but I remember.
Now hold on, time frame here. Let me see if I'm following this. So April of 2020, the incident in the park happened.
Yep.
October, they got arraigned.
Yep.
When was the filing of the lawsuit in regards to the court case against the parents?
Oh, the filing of the court case against the parents, I don't know when that was. I would have to look into that.
Well, no, I mean the lawsuit. You're saying they're suing. You're saying the parents are suing.
They're preparing.
Police.
They haven't actually filed the lawsuit. The window's
so that's
closing
coming.
Pretty soon,
okay.
So they're working on that.
So they already
but
went
they filed
to court.
Complaints. Yeah, but they've been found not guilty.
Not guilty,
yep.
Which is also the same thing that happened with Rochelle Kelly.
Yep.
We followed that case. I was there recording video, if I recall correctly, of that. The courtroom was packed full of people in the Rochelle Kelly case, which was awesome. It's great to see that level of support, people coming out to back somebody up. And the judge, you could tell he didn't want to find her not guilty. I think it was a guy. Anyway, the judge, whoever it was, didn't want to do it. Like, he kind of read her the Riot Act while finding her not guilty, essentially lecturing her. But he had to, because it was just so obviously wrong what happened to her.
So anyways, Tyler goes and files a complaint with the Concord Police Department against these two cops, which is the first step in basically going after these guys and having something...
you got to have a record.
Something done about it, yes.
Okay. So we know they're not going to do anything about it, but at least there's now a piece of paper in the system.
So the Concord Police Department responded with a no trespass order against Tyler Workman.
Wow.
So, which says to me that, so is a no trespass order, I don't know, is this just a city of Concord no trespass order? Is it a police department no trespass order? Does this mean that he can't take his kids to the park now?
You haven't seen it? You haven't seen the actual
No,
orders?
I just heard about it. So I'll see it next week.
Okay, yeah, I'm curious as well.
Yeah, so...
it reminds me of the time that we got, not you, but some of the activists, including me here in Keene, were banned from the courthouse years ago during the Derek J's victimless crime spree era. They literally no trespassed us from the Cheshire County Courthouse.
So at the very least, it sounds like he's being denied access to the police.
That's what it sounds like. You can't come down here?
Yeah, so there's this article in the New Hampshire Constitution that says something about, each member of society, gives up a little bit of his... freedom or whatever.
Yep.
I don't think it's freedom. But,
yeah, so you give up your rights in return for protection. That's the supposed deal of citizenship. And it's a scam, by the way.
Right. And so here, the Concord PD, which is, a garbage police department, Concord, absolutely.
Yeah, they're terrible.
They're just, I don't know what their deal is, but, this is what happens when you have cities.
Yep.
And you have, the elitist people, controlling what goes on in cities because, the more power, more concentration of power. So anyways, so they got charged with no trespass order. And, but basically Concord PD, best I can tell, they're just a private corporation. They're a charity. Just like, and I will say this, again and again, if you want to internet search Massachusetts, state police are not governments, they're charities. It's Massachusetts ACLU versus Massachusetts State Police. And you will, 2014, Jack Collins, if you got to put that in a search, you'll find where the Supreme Court of Massachusetts has ruled that the state police are law enforcement councils. They're not part of the government, and they're not subject to these Freedom of Information Act requests because they're not part of the government. They
are
a charity.
Can there be a better word than charity? Because, to call
this
the police a charity...
but they're registered with the IRS as a charity.
Wow.
They're law enforcement. This is the exact
They don't act
language.
Like a charity, though. I mean, a charity takes donations. A charity is doing things on a voluntary basis. The police are using force. They're using the threat of violence to extract money from the population.
Yep.
This Tyler is now being forced to pay for a service that they're telling him he can't even come to use.
Right.
Even if you even wanted to use their service, which sucks. Right now, Bonnie's been trying to get the Keene police to do something for a few months, something just real simple, and they're not doing it.
Right.
What's their obligation? Turns out they have no obligation.
Right. They don't have any obligation because they're not part of the government. In fact, these guys, if you want to send your local, whatever you think is a government, let's say, Ian, you want to send the city of Keene public records request for the document they rely on, that they are in Article 4, Section 4, form of government, as described and as described and prescribed and required by the U.S. Constitution. They will basically send you a copy of their town charter, or they will deny it, saying that we don't have that document. And their town charter calls them a governmental agency.
Mm-hmm.
So getting into the Supreme Court ruling with ACLU versus state police, and Jack Collins was the guy who represented the state police, the Supreme Court of New Hampshire uses the words charity. The Massachusetts State Police Law Enforcement Councils are a charity, just like the American Heart and Lung and Cancer Society. They say this. And I've been saying this
for
years.
When you say the Law Enforcement Council, is that different from the state police?
No, it's the state police is made up of 52 law enforcement councils.
You're talking about in Massachusetts.
Yes.
You said New Hampshire Supreme Court. It wasn't New Hampshire,
Oh, yeah, it's
right?
Massachusetts Supreme okay. Court. But you're going to find the same thing is basically going on in all these states. Because all these states are just franchises of the District of Columbia. They all operate under the same uniform commercial code. They're all getting the same federal subsidies, mostly. even this, the thing my wife was charged with, child endangerment, I haven't found exactly how it comes about. But the federal government gives some kind of grant or subsidy or some kind of money to either police departments or whoever. I think it's local towns or cities or police departments each time they do this child endangerment charge against something. They actually get some kind of stipend from the state, is what I'm understanding. I haven't gotten that actual where that comes from. Like, we know DCYF.
Well, how do you dig this information up? I mean, it's got to be really,
right.
Really,
it's quiet. Tough.
Hush.
And they're all like, oh, it's a few clicks away, but I got a couple of friends working on it. We're going to do some write to know requests on, you know, did the Concord PD get any money? Does the Concord PD get any money from the feds, you know, for enforcing this RSA 463 point, whatever it's called?
It's going to be hard to nail that down, but it'll be interesting to see what they say.
Yeah, actually, J.R. Hole will probably have it figured out pretty quick. He's pretty good at this stuff. He's a
state representative.
Yes, and he's he's really been getting into the whole, like, DCYF
budget. That's because they screwed his family over.
Yeah, they actually...
That's unfortunately what it takes to get people's attention.
Yep.
The government has to put their targets on you or your direct family members before people will actually wake up and say, oh, my God, this isn't the free country that I thought it was. But I want to get back into Tyler Workman, you said his name was, and Pamela Jewell, was it? So these guys are a couple?
Yeah. I believe they're married. You know, Pamela Workman's what I know her as. They just call her Pamela Jewell in the article. So they got served with a no trespass order, and they're actually going to be filing complaints with all the state agencies.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggested also that, you know, because I'm going to be doing the same thing with my case with all the, you know, government bureaucrats that, you know, injured my family, took my time away.
Sure. You never get that back.
We're gonna, you know, do our best to correct it. So
just let me see if I'm following this here. So they were charged in this BS case where the cops came after them and arrested them for bringing their kids to the park. They won those cases, and then they started filing requests for information, freedom of information requests, with Concord Police. Concord Police then responds with a no trespass order against them. Is that right? Did I understand that right?
They filed a complaint. I don't know about a right to know request, but they filed a complaint.
Now they're doing right to know requests.
They're going to be now, yes. We're going to actually meet up about this. So this is also going to work into, you know, our courtroom meetup that we're having, a few friends of ours. And where we're organizing and working on essentially, you know, reporting all these bad actors to the state agencies, to the government agencies, which are going to quite likely just do nothing about it, which we expect them to do nothing about it. But then we can say, look,
they don't hold themselves accountable.
Look here, legislature. All these government agencies did nothing. So, you know, we need there needs to be some teeth to be sunk into these government bureaucrats somehow. They need to lose their pensions. They need to go to jail. Somebody needs to stay after school. There has to be, and the more and more that we show, so this is happening on every level. So from just regular people who are just trying to go to the park, you know, and raise their kids are being targeted, and right up to, you know, right on all the media where you have the Department of Justice going after Trump. for all the wrong things. You know, there's reasons to go after Trump. I mean, he's, you know, participated in, you know, bombing people as a president.
That's not the reason why,
and,
right?
Yeah. And these ridiculous reasons that, like, basically are just a distraction. And yet you got Hunter Biden, you know, using prostitutes to make porno. He's on video doing drugs. Yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene did a really good, like, exposing, you know, all of some, you know, whatever porno thing that Hunter Biden, you know, filmed and videotaped. And then she, at the end of it, she's like, oh, and he wrote it all off on his business taxes. You know, the Burisma money he got. Mm. And but anyways, it's just, it's so clear and cut right now that, like, anybody who, and I don't know any, like, actual working class people that agree with the way justice is being administered in this country. The only people who agree with the, seems that it was like, you know, Tony Kaplan, for example, who's just, you know, a career state, you know, government employee guy who was a guy I ran against for state representative here in New Hampshire.
Well, if that's true, then Donald Trump has a good chance at a jury. If it's actually true that people are sick and tired of things, and, you know,
a jury where?
Well, there's one in D.C. apparently now. Yeah,
who picks the jurors?
Right.
The government picks the jurors. So, like, even like my wife getting a fair jury would be really hard, especially in Concord, because Concord is mostly a bunch of liberals. You know,
that's a good point.
And you know, and I think that a mom in a situation like when my wife's going to have a jury trial, that, well, there's a couple of different things. The jurors should at the very least all be moms.
Be mothers. That would be a true jury of one's peers. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like you get that kind of jury when it comes, like, in my case, in the Crypto 6 case, it should have been crypto people who were on the jury. But no, they prohibited, essentially. They did everything they could to kick off anybody that knew anything at all.
That would be, I hope that your lawyer's working at, in the appeals.
I don't think you can. I think that's been so long set in the courts. It's just like,
I think you'd have to try.
The definition of a peer is just somebody else who's a voter. I mean, it's just such a stupid system. Unfortunately, let's go to the phones here. We've got somebody on the line, an anonymous caller. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hello, my name is Mark. How are you doing?
Mark, you're on the air. What's on your mind tonight?
I wanted to know what your thoughts were on why all these things are happening. Like, is there someone at the top who's very rich, like someone from the World Economic Forum or the World Health Organization? Do they want control? Do they want power? Are they going to ruin the food system, the banking system, so we have to go digital? Then they can control us. Like, if I say I love God or something, and, you know, they can, like, shut my money off. Is this, you know, should I be afraid? What do you think?
Well, I don't think that you should live in a state of fear. I mean, we did talk about fear earlier. Fear is certainly a killer. It will keep you from accomplishing things in life. It will put you in a state where you could be easily taken over by illness. I mean, fear is a very, very bad place to be. That's not to say that there aren't people out there who do have negative intentions. I mean, certainly whoever they are, the governments of the world and the people that control those governments, these mega corporations, they definitely want a docile, fearful group of people that they can rule over. I mean, you agree with that, right, Jeff?
Yeah. So, I mean, so I got a sort of a bunch of answers on your question. You know, who's in control? Well, so we know that 3 to 5% of the population are essentially psychopaths or sociopaths, or these people.
Is it that
who
many? I thought it was only 1%.
Well, okay, 1%.
1% psychopaths, so there may be more sociopaths.
3 to 5% is the number I've been hearing. But and then you have all of these, you know, the incompetent people I talk about, the people who beg for government. You know, so we got a lot of people right now that their career is so specifically one thing. Like, you know, for example, the guy's an accountant. He can't do anything else but be an accountant. He can't make money like doing other things but being an accountant. So he feels, so he believes, so he's been trained. So you have a lot of people who, you know, because of, like, you know, academia and the, you know, guidance counselors, and you're going to go to college, you know, to learn about this one particular thing. So a lot of, like, you know, your, and then you have your government employees and your people that are, you know, all in the medical system and all the heavily government regulated system, and all the people, like, every nurse has a license to be a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these, a lot of these, you know, so-called professionals that are licensed by the state, because, you know, I feel that they have, are somewhat incompetent. Well, they're incompetent, or they lack confidence, so they, you know, need to get all of this, you know, certification and stuff from the government and praise from the government, and they
Well, they need hold on. COVID was a perfect example of how those people are compromised.
Right.
Because,
oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, they may be very competent. They may be very good at the job that they're doing.
At the one thing they do. Sure.
Right. But when the pressure came on to these people of you either take the government line on COVID or you lose your job, that was the moment when you really got to see which ones had the courage to stand for their own convictions and potentially lose their job. And there weren't that many of them. Most of them went along to get along. They even kept their mouths shut if they disagreed with the official government line. And so that's a perfect example.
Yeah. So anyways, basically, if you're not following the narrative, you're not part of the cult. So we got a whole bunch of, just make it simple, we have a bunch of cult members. They're just going to worship this cult called the state. And so all of their pensions absolutely require this worship to happen, require people to keep paying into the state. In fact, here in New Hampshire, and I'm sure in every state in the United States of America, there is a college program at Granite State University that was titled something like Maximizing Revenue for DCYF. And they would incentivize the social workers that are going out, trying to, get families to agree to some kind of services from Child Protection Services or DCYF, so they could get the federal money. And this federal money coming into the system, into support DCYF, these people are trained that this is, or told, I should say, that this is what funds their pension. And they're also told that they need to have more people come in behind them to keep their pensions fund. This is what this particular cult of government employees is told. And most of the government employees that are out there, most of what our tax dollars, first off, is paying for is pensions, like I was saying before. Mm-hmm. But most government employees are totally unnecessary. And the few government employees that, I would say, are useful are, the guy plowing the road, then you have, utilities, which are sort of semi-government, electricity, water, and firemen. We have all kinds of examples of private fire departments. In fact, we have a really good example. It's called Palmer Ambulance Service, Palmer, Massachusetts. It is a private ambulance service, and it works really well.
They have that here in Keene as well. But I want to see if Mark had anything he wanted to weigh in on.
Yes, thank you for answering that. In the last 4 or 5 years, who's benefited from this? Who's the puppet master that could influence the leaders of the world to make these bad decisions or whatever decisions?
Well, they're bad for the majority of the population, but they're very good decisions when it comes from the perspective of the international bankers and whoever else it is that stands to benefit, right? There's a reason why these people are doing this, and we could get into esoteric things if we wanted to, but if you want, hang on, we can continue the discussion. The number is 603-283-6160, talking about, I think as Ernie Hancock would put them, they, them, those.
Right.
Who are these people anyway? It's not Joe Biden. It's the people who are behind Joe Biden, right? The people that are the puppet masters.
Joe Biden is a puppet.
The terminology. There's more coming up here. You can join us. This is Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump has pleaded not guilty to criminal charges connected to his alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. He appeared in federal court in D.C. after being indicted earlier in the week. Trump's attorney, Alina Habba, says the indictment shouldn't even happen.
This is election interference at its finest against the leading candidate right now for president, for either party.
Outside the courthouse, where Trump was arraigned Thursday, the price at the pump is rising into the later part of the summer, reaching a nine-month high this week. In South Florida, correspondent Sam Brock says,
the biggest X factor at the moment, likely the hurricane season as a major storm, is the biggest risk to take more of these oil refineries offline.
AAA reports the national average price for regular is $3.82 a gallon. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That's 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. It's a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. And it is super easy to spend Dash. It's fast. And it's cheap to spend Dash. Whenever you spend cryptocurrency, there's always a network fee that you have to pay on almost all cryptos out there. With Bitcoin, those network fees have been crazy for years. It could cost you over a dollar to send a Bitcoin transaction in many cases these days. And with Dash, it's usually way less than 1 cent to send a Dash transaction. Dash transactions, by the way, are irreversible. Their network is protected from the dreaded 51% attack by their Chainlock technology. There's no need to wait around for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies. It's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It is easy to get and use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. Big thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month. To promote Dash on the air, you can visit Dash.org. To learn about Dash, that is Dash.org. Unfortunately, we just lost our caller, Mark, who was on the line. He was asking sort of some general questions about they, them, those, as Ernest Hancock would put it, our Monday night host here on Free Talk Live from Declare Your Independence. Those people who are the puppet masters, the people who, you know, are behind Joe Biden, the people who are behind Donald Trump, the people who are behind these international figures that we see on the news, the ones that are in the shadows that are benefiting from having the control that they have, but they don't want to be on the front. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to be known. You know, what is the, who are these people? I don't have an answer to that. I mean, the easy answer is the international bankers, quote unquote, right? But who they are, well, I mean, they stay in the shadows for a reason. They don't want to be known.
Ernie says there's two kinds of people in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Those who just want to be left alone and those who will not leave you alone. Who are they, them, and those?
Mm-hmm.
The people that will not leave you alone. So, yeah. Like, you have busybody bureaucrats that feel like they need to report everything to the state. You have, you know, people, you know, voting for more government. I mean, look at San Francisco.
Yeah,
the
sure.
voters of San Francisco got what they voted for.
A ton of government and a ton of trash in the street.
Did you see there was like a woman, I think she was like totally naked or almost all naked, on some road, some highway in San Francisco, and just had a pistol, and it just, bam, just randomly just
Whoa.
Taking shots at people.
Whoa.
I got this whole video, I watched a video of this on, I don't know, it was
That's crazy.
On Odyssey or something the other
just
day.
Just totally drugged out.
I mean, I guess, but mm-hmm. she was like literally just shooting people. Like, I mean, what do you do? I mean, you know, the only way you can disarm her is to run her over, you know, and, but like, that's scary. And,
yeah, it
you
is.
Know, it's, it, and it's turned into a total cesspool. And you're seeing this in all of the places in America where they voted for more government and where they've enacted more government are turning into absolute cesspools. Cesspools, just horrible places.
Yeah. So who's behind this? What are their motivations? Well, I mean, it's pretty easy to speculate. These people, they get off on power. These are people who are on a power trip. They're probably all very, very wealthy.
And they have a lot of minions, too. And the minions aren't getting off on power. The minions,
some of them do.
Well, some of them do. But a lot of these minions are just, they lack confidence. And they feel like somebody in a position of power needs to be there to take care of them.
Mm.
There are just a lot of people that believe that, like, even here in New Hampshire, as soon as, you know, we become independent from the United States, there's people who wholeheartedly believe that we're going to be attacked.
Yeah, we heard from one of them earlier.
We need that protection from the federal government. You know,
Big Daddy.
Right.
Even though Daddy beats you, you still need to have him around.
Right, exactly.
It's ridiculous.
And so,
but it's psychopaths, and you touched on this earlier, Jay. There are psychopaths. They're born that way, and you probably cannot change the psychopath.
But yep, just the like people, the child predators.
These are the people, and of course, many of them are in government as well. But as we saw with the Jeffrey Epstein situation, just scratching the surface, likely on that situation. But these people get off on control. They
yep.
really enjoy having people obey them. They love to tell people what to do. And this happens, you can see it on the individual level, right? Like we were just talking about these Concord cops who arrested parents during COVID for taking their kids to the playground. It really happened. The parents were found not guilty ultimately, but that didn't stop all of that from happening to them, losing whatever kind of time they had to lose to go to court and to deal with, you know, getting processed by the police, because these two cops really wanted to arrest them, right? Because those cops could have said, if they were actual, like, peace officers, if they were focused on just simply keeping the peace, if there's a fight at a bar, you show up, you separate the people who are fighting, you send them home, you know, whatever. If somebody got hurt, you might take them to the hospital. You know, you solve the problems, you keep the peace. These cops weren't there to keep the peace. They were there to cause a problem. They were there to ruin the day of these innocent parents and kids who'd come out to simply go play on a playground. I mean, how insane do you have to be to look at kids playing on a playground and say, I got to do something about this. We need to protect the community. I mean, what is going through their head? What sort of insane beliefs are going through their head? Is it even something conscious? Is it even like a decision that these people make? Or is it just, well, so are they just like automatons? Well, I was called to be here, so I must do my duty. I must enforce this arbitrary edict.
Well, we know that there's police departments that reject people, new cadets because their IQ is too high.
Right, they think too much.
So a lot of these cops are cult members. So if you start looking at, like, city police departments that required, you know, COVID vaccines and, you know, all this COVID nonsense, so the only people you're going to have left on these police departments are going to be, you know,
the most obedient.
The most obedient, yeah. You know, the most obedient, cult members. And if you want to, you know, so it's ripe for predators, especially these, you know, so there's a big difference between like a rural New Hampshire police department, like Henniker, for example, which didn't impose and make anyone get vaccines. In fact, when the town of Henniker, we had a couple of wackadoos on the board in 2020 that they wanted to do a mask mandate, and they wanted to put up signs in town that you had to wear a mask anywhere in town. They wanted to do a mask mandate in town. I went to that board meeting and I talked out against it. And actually, one of the police officers of the Henniker Police Department, a sergeant, I forget his name, he spoke and said, "Yeah, the Henniker Police does not support this. We are busy. We don't need to be, you know, taking calls for people not wearing masks. We're not
even
writing tickets."
Even Keene Police did the same thing. I was really surprised with they basically, even though Keene City Council passed a mask mandate in town, the police basically did absolutely nothing to enforce it. And the Jason Short, who was one of the bad guys in Derek J's victimless crime spree, came out publicly and spoke up against the mask mandate. He was actually demoted because of speaking publicly, but he spoke out and said, "Yeah, bad laws should be disobeyed," which was like, whoa.
When is a cop ever demoted?
Jason Short and Keene, but yeah, very rarely.
But look at all these horrible very things rarely. Police do, and they're not right. Nothing happens to them.
Yeah,
and
no, this guy just got demoted for speaking.
Yeah. Because he wasn't going along with the narrative like the rest of the cult members are supposed to be going
along
with.
But they weren't mandating vaccines on the police in Keene, and the police did not enforce the mask ordinance. Which, so, I mean, good for them for that. I mean, they have all kinds of other problems. But these positions of power,
they're ripe for predators.
They are.
This is why we have DCYF all throughout the country is riddled with people who are there finding. Just another guy was just arrested. He was just charged in court in Boston the other day.
Another sex freak
yeah. who worked for New Hampshire DCYF.
Yeah.
And then there's you know, social workers that work for New Hampshire's husbands of social workers.
Sure.
They're making child porn. Just look at just all the settlements that have been paid out by DCYF or Child Protection Services wherever you are. Just type it in and search, and you will just find article
after
article.
And it's never going to stop until the entire system is abolished.
The platform has to be taken out from underneath these people. And
right, there literally cannot be reform. There's no law that can be passed that's going to stop these people from seeking out positions of power. As long as a position of power exists, it'll be the lowest of the low, the scum of the earth that will be attracted to those positions.
Yep.
Now, the lower level positions tend to be lower level people that are attracted, right? But
yep.
The higher level positions, like international banker type people, they also are power freaks. You just don't get to hear about them as often. They don't get caught as often as the DCYF agents or whatever, because those guys are the low men on the totem pole. If some of them go down from time to time to try to make the system look like, oh, well, look, we're catching them. We're going after these guys. No, it just keeps happening. The stories keep coming in. It's not like it just happened once or twice and there was some sort of crackdown and then all of a sudden the sickos stopped applying for the jobs. They're still going in there. They're still doing the same stuff.
Yeah, if you're someone who is a minor attracted person, which, you know, the likes of the, you know, World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab and these guys want to, like, decriminalize pedophilia and make minor attractive persons, like, more, you know, less, you know, vile or whatever. But if you're, you know, someone who's into basically, you know, diddling little kids, you know, the perfect thing to do is to get a job where there's lots of little kids, get a job where you have qualified immunity, and
right.
So
Catholic priest or DCYF
or you know, Disney, whatever, you know, like there's so many pedos that are picked up in Disney, and there's so many pedos that are, you know, found with these child protective services. It is the perfect ripe opportunity.
Sure.
And even like when I was in high school, there was a guy who was, he wasn't like an old dude. He was like in his 20s, but he definitely like had a relationship with like a 17 or 18 year old high school student. And the Teachers Association like went hardcore above and beyond to protect this guy, because the American Educators Association is not about, you know, providing a good education. It's about making sure that it has members in its union. And how do you keep members in that union? You keep them all employed, you know, at their schools. So what they did with this guy is they actually wanted to, the recommendation was to remove him from the high school and to put him in the elementary school, whatever grade was like K through 4. They wanted to make him a phys ed teacher in a K through 4, and he was a phys ed teacher in high school. And he was a young, really good-looking guy. He was, you know, in his mid to late 20s, and he definitely, like, I can remember, like, you know, some of the girls I went to school with were all about him because he was, like, a muscly, good-looking guy. And, you know, they came on to him, and he got in trouble because he was messing around with a few of these girls.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, we'll just put him in, you know, with the K through 4 because he's not attracted to those kind. That's not going to happen.
Mm.
And like, the parents were going crazy about it. Like, there was
how many parents refused to pay property taxes over it? See, that's the
probably
only thing.
Probably my dad was the only one.
Right. That is the only way this is ever going to change.
Yeah.
If there is a way for people to feel safe not paying for these services. Because you know what happens now. If you don't pay for these thugs.
I know exactly what happens.
Or these sickos, yeah, because they did it to you. They actually raided your house and stole your house from you in Massachusetts. If you don't pay the thugs, they come to you and they bring the violence.
That's right.
They bring the violence to you. That's how this system stays together. If there was some way, and I understand, even amongst the libertarian community, you're the only one that's ever done this. Right, like you're the only one that I know of that's ever made a stand on property taxes. The average libertarian, they're not willing to put.
You
anything
can't even
like that
get a jury trial in Massachusetts when it comes to a property tax taking thing. And I've talked
to
some.
Just going
to
get screwed.
I've actually talked to people in New Hampshire who have had their properties taken for property taxes. And they said, yeah, we didn't get a jury trial. We demanded one, and there was no jury trial. And he goes, I don't even think there is a process. But in Massachusetts, there is absolutely no process whatsoever to get a jury
you
trial.
You wouldn't win anyway because whenever you're on a jury for any kind of tax case, you're dealing with a jury full of people who are victims themselves.
Yep.
And the victim mentality is the sort of abuse victim mentality of, well, I've been abused for my whole life. I've had to pay property taxes for my whole life. How come this guy thinks he doesn't have to pay? I don't care what he says the law says. You're going to jail, buddy.
Yeah, if I got to pay, you got to pay.
Right, so that's the mentality of it. I suspect that was the mentality behind the jurors in the Crypto 6 case where I got found guilty of 4 counts of tax evasion, even though the IRS agent admitted that she wasn't even sure I owed any taxes, and they never even sent me a letter about it. It's like seemed like it was an open and shut case, but yet the jury decided, you're guilty anyway. So winning in a tax case is very, very hard to do with jurors. So the only way I think you could possibly see this happen, because you don't have enough people who are willing to just do civil disobedience on the question, because who wants to lose their home, is to change the damn system. And I think the only way you could change the system beyond just abolishing it entirely, which is obviously not going to be popular at this moment, would be to make taxes voluntary, would be to simply change it so they cannot put a lien on your home, they cannot seize your property.
Well, here's an interesting thing. If you guys want to check out, there's a guy, if you internet search or YouTube search Steve Emerson, property tax, he shows up on YouTube in a few different places. He's on a few different things. There's a Telegram I can't remember what the Telegram channel is. But anyways, he talks about how he won a $38 million settlement basically against the city of Tampa, Florida. And what he did was a Freedom of Information Act request to the city of Tampa for the process and procedure they rely on to put a tax lien on private, non-commercial property, specifically my home where I live. My home. What's the process and procedure? So when they send him the process, so what happens with a lot of places where they do this, they're like, oh, the tax collector or the assessor, whoever it is, calls up and he's like, or gets a hold of the guy, and he says, we're going to take your property off the tax rolls. We don't want to answer this. And even when they do get the answer back of the process and the procedure, the whole tax lien process and procedure is only about properties that are a business, that have a business status and have a license attached to the property for a business, like a general store or a liquor store.
You're saying, what you're saying is if they were to reveal the process, that's what it would reveal, and that's why they wouldn't reveal it?
Yeah, well, it's actually pretty easy to find it. You should be able to search it about anywhere. And I've read a few of the one in Massachusetts is pretty clear. The one in Florida is pretty clear that it's basically only applies to a property with a situs. And the definition of a situs is basically a place of a business. So you have to have a business license. And actually, these guys did a lot of work in Florida, so they found a whole bunch of Florida case law on the business citizen and the business license. And that's what requires the property tax. But the guy's name is Steve Emerson. He's all over YouTube.
Won $38 million?
That's what he's claiming, you know, as of a couple years ago, as of 2021. Yep.
And they took him off the tax rolls.
And he claims he's got lots of properties taken off the tax rolls in several states now. So
those are huge claims.
Those are huge claims.
I'm very curious about how, you know, whether those are true or not. That's really interesting.
But, yeah, so I mean,
I take it you found that after they stole your house in Palm.
Yeah. But the thing is I'm going to go forward with it, and I'm going to basically, as soon as I'm done with this, you know, stuff with City of Concord Police, the mm-hmm. same people that went after this Tyler Workman, who they put a no trespass order against. But as soon as we're done with that, that's the next thing I'm working on, is the right to know request to the town.
You're going
to
ask similar questions.
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, what's your process and procedure? How did you convert a tract of land into real estate? Because you get a real estate tax bill for real estate. If you look at your deed to your property, the word real estate is not in that deed. It is described as a tract of land with marks and bounds, or a parcel of land. It's not
real estate. I don't
think
we get real estate taxes. I think it's called a property tax bill.
Mine definitely says real estate tax on it.
Okay, I'll have to double check that. Let's go to the phones here. We got Rob calling from nearby Vermont here. Rob, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So, one of the things that I would suggest is, instead of calling these agencies, and, you know, like the DCYF and Family Court, these people need to have a name. You know, you can go to, like, the Superior Court in Keene, New Hampshire, and just do a FOIA request on everyone that works in there.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And some of the people that work, like, out of the Keene office are advocates, you know, that work, you know, for the Department of Child Welfare and, you know, oversee a lot of this, you know, crap that goes on, with like what Jay has and his wife have gone through. Those people have a name. You know, those people's names need to be, you know, broadcasted on, like on this show, or, you know, people like, you know, like my friend at Press NH. You know, he's been hammering on the Department of Child Welfare in the state of New Hampshire mm-hmm. because of the things that they do. You know,
yeah, I don't think it hurts to name names. I mean, give the bad guys all the press that you can. But the problem comes in when, you know, even if you can get rid of one of them, they're going to be replaced by another bad guy. I mean, almost certainly you're going to be replaced by another
psycho.
Got to
get rid of the platform.
Right.
And, hey, Rob, if you could give the Press NH guy my contact info, have him get a hold of me. I'd like to chat with him.
He's actually living here in Keene now, Press NH now. He's been coming to our social meetups on Sundays. He's in there's a Keene chat on Element, so he's in there as well. He's really a valuable member of the community, and we need more people like him. We need more people who are willing to tote a video camera and walk into a government agency just to see what happens. I think it's one of the most effective forms of direct activism that you can do, and there's not enough people like that. And Joa, I think, who was doing that kind of work, has gotten burned out. As I understand it, he's moved up to Grafton, and that's the place where activists go to disappear. So hopefully we'll see him again someday, but he apparently needs some time off. Rob, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. But the First Amendment auditors, the interesting thing, we were talking with actually Press NH Now, whose real name is Mark. We were talking with him at the social meetup here in Keene, and he makes a living from this.
Good.
You know, and that is great, because activism is hard to make a living from. It's usually just a labor of love. It's something you do. Like you were talking about Man Camp.
Make a living at that.
Yeah, it didn't quite cover its costs, unfortunately, this year. But you did have some donations from some people that were willing to help out.
Yeah, I'm going to do actually a Man Camp curriculum weekly. Starting in September.
Yeah, and that's really cool. And it would be great if you could, like, do that more often and actually make a living off of it. Maybe someday you could. But like a lot of things, in the beginning, you got to eat a loss in order to start something new, right? And with activism, you may never actually make the thing, whatever it is that you do, profitable. So it was really nice to hear that the First Amendment
activism, the First Amendment auditing activism that he does, is actually paying his bills. So this is something you can do and actually make it work, right? There's plenty of space in the First Amendment auditor community. There could be somebody living over in Portsmouth. There could be somebody living up in Concord, because apparently there's plenty of corruption there. And just make this your thing that you do, and maybe there's enough support that can, I mean, I can't say for sure, but maybe if you're good at it, you can make this thing work. Now, Jay, you were here last week after the show. You were supposed to be here for like an hour. It went for like 3 or 4 hours or something. You were interviewed by...
I was pretty tired after that.
the Anarchapulco folks brought you on board to give a presentation, and yep. It sounded like the interviewer from Australia was really interested in the topic, so she kept talking to you for quite a while.
Yep.
It went well, huh?
It went very well. They're very happy about it, so I did my pre-recorded presentation. And this is for the Anarchapulco.com nonconformist series. So if you go to Anarchapulco.com, you can find it on there. You can click down on register.
I think there's a link that we posted. You had me post earlier tonight on the Free Talk Live social media over at social.freetalklive.com. If you follow the @FTL profile there, it also should have ended up on Twitter as well @FreeTalkLive. There's a link right there. It's got like your name attached to it. So you get an affiliate link of something.
Yeah, definitely.
It's free to sign up for. So I'm not sure if you're going to make money on this.
There is a way to make money somehow. Afterwards, people can like buy the recording.
Oh, okay.
But it is a free to attend, and you got to sign up. I think there's several thousand. There's like a lot of it's capped at a certain point. I should know more details about this. But
it's coming up though, right? When is this happening?
It's the 11th through the 13th. It's the nonconformist series.
So next Friday is when it starts.
Right. And there's a bunch of speakers on it.
Like 50 people or something, right? There's a lot.
I don't know about 50, but I think maybe 20-ish.
Yeah, okay.
Embrace independence and an unchained life for you and your family. Unearth timeless wisdom, practical skills, and revolutionary education strategies to craft a life of self-sufficiency and holistic learning. Experience true freedom here and now.
And you know a thing or two about self-sufficiency, and what are some of the things you covered briefly?
The thing I'm really covering is investing in our posterity.
Keeping your kids off the devices.
Keeping the kids off the devices, helping the kids develop skills, develop a desire to want to work and have skills. To have this independence, to have pride in what they do.
Confidence.
Yeah. Confidence is the biggest thing, because people who have confidence are not going to need government. That's really, the biggest ideal. So I go into the solutions. And
that's what they want. This. They want people to be helpless. They want people to be afraid so that they need, or they feel like they need, the government. Out of time for tonight, just as somebody's calling in from a jail somewhere. Case County Jail. I'll have to find out who that is off the air. Maybe we'll have them call back tomorrow or Friday or Saturday night. We'll be live again on our weekend shows. We'll see you then online in the meantime, freetalklive.com.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.